And Rusty Tanton.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast.
The show that wonders where its $180 is.
The show that enjoys a nice game of hacky sack from time to time.
It is today brought to you by the letter O.
The show that follows with complete and thorough prophylaxis.
The show that acts as a social lubricant.
The show that welcomes all voices, disembodied or otherwise.
This is going to be the best podcast ever.
This is Rusty. Amber and I are out at the America's Garden Inn in America's.
In the jacuzzi.
Nothing sucks more than listening to somebody go, that's
I
just
like
painful to me. So
it's a very different dynamic, this whole sex with a condom thing, because I can't feel any of the moisture in... And
is that the word we're using?
Well, what else do you want me to use?
Yeah, that's the word, I suppose.
If you stick around long enough, you'll see the abrasiveness begins with the sodomite.
I'm actually terrible when it comes to activism and sort of getting involved with things. Great when it comes to drinking.
She was always screaming, even if they were right next to her.
Too cheap to get my own domain. Back off. I don't care what you have to say about that.
A boob coming out with a full exposed nipple is not as funny as a boob coming out with maybe, you know,
fried
pink
egg.
Fried egg or you know, gold glitter X's or tassels or little hearts or cherries or whatever, you know.
Conferences that you go to with people in a room sitting in chairs and...
Do they have nudity?
No, unfortunately.
Nudity.
Awesome. Your heart's
too Rusty. Safe from the chest
being run. The brief synopsis is about a group of about a dozen or so aborted fetuses who come back to life through stem cell serum, and they join forces with an Eric Rudolph-esque abortion clinic bomber.
It's just that you've mentioned bacon so many times tonight in so many situations where I never thought bacon would come up.
It comes up. Lucky one that it's kind of followed from house to house. I've had the radios turn on and off. I had a coffee table with a total glass top literally explode in my family.
It's July 10th, and we're going to review some sex clubs in Atlanta that we visited.
Yes, we are. So to start out with, I think we need to just get some logistical details covered for people who have never been to a sex club.
And may not understand how it works.
And first of all, it should be noted that the clubs that we're going to be talking about, it's not really fair to just say sex club because that's too broad. They're swingers clubs. Which is a very specific type of culture. Usually swingers they're in a committed relationship, and usually it's either partner swapping or, you know, some other form of playing with, and play is the word.
Yeah.
The word of the day, with couples that know each other. And there's a hard and fast, but mostly unspoken rule that women can play with other women, but guys don't play with other guys, which kind of annoys me because it is fairly heterosexist, but that's what the swinger thing is about.
Yeah.
So now that that's out of the way, a few other things about the clubs. Do you want to talk about the logistics,
sort of
legal
the,
things?
Some of the logistics. Mm-hmm. Well, really the only thing, a lot of people are... We'll ask, well, how is that possibly legal? How are people not getting arrested? Well, actually, really, the only potential thing that people having sex in a club could run into trouble with is public indecency. And the way they get around public indecency is that instead of being a public club where you just have an admission fee, they are a private club that has membership dues. And so by doing that, they get around public indecency because it's not a public club.
When you sign up for a membership, you have to agree to some terms. So it's not just a thing where it's like, okay, it's a membership. You know, you have to sign up. You have to agree to these terms that basically say, I don't find nudity offensive. I don't find other people having sex in front of me offensive. You know, check, check,
that kind
check.
Of thing.
And you have to agree to that. And then the memberships are usually either for 3 months or 1 year.
Well, at least that's the way it is at Trapeze.
At the ones that we, yeah, the ones that we know.
One of the ones we went to. I mean, I don't remember it being that way at the other one, but it's something like that. It's a set period of time, whether it's 3 months or 6 months or a year. It's nothing too long, nothing too short.
They also generally don't serve alcohol, so that way they don't have to worry about concerns with liquor licenses, potential zoning issues of serving alcohol or whatever else might come up, because you know the cops love to find any little tiny infraction they can to bust these places for. Some of them allow bring your own, and you bring it, and then they have bartenders that will serve it to you.
But it's still your bottle.
But it's your bottle.
They're not serving.
Right. And I mean, honestly, personally, I feel like it's just a good idea for sex clubs to not serve alcohol, because I feel like when sex and alcohol mix, you know, bad stuff can happen. It annoys me that when there are people who feel like they have to be drinking in order to, you know, do certain things sexually. I mean, I think if you have to be drinking to do it, then maybe you should be doing it. And I don't think they mix well.
What I like about the BYOB policy is that, you know, somebody walks in with a 12-pack of beer for themselves, it's going to raise some eyebrows. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so the people who are there generally aren't drinking to get really rowdy drunk. They might just have a couple of drinks to loosen up or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, it's not a state of impairment. It's just something that helps some people
social
relax.
Social drinking.
It's social drinking. I honestly don't see that many people sitting around drinking.
No, because they're there to fuck, not to drink.
Yeah. So, what else do we have? We have the different fees that.
Yes. We mentioned a minute ago that it's a private membership club. And in addition to paying a membership fee for whatever length of time the membership is, you also have to pay nightly user fees. And those vary both from night to night, and also depending on what kind of membership you have, whether it's couple, single woman, or single man. And for the most part, and I've never seen any club that doesn't do it this way, single women are always admitted, and their fees are very, very low, as low as $10 for user fee.
It's practically a trivial.
Sometimes they're even free, I think. I don't know. But anyway, couples it varies again night to night. Saturday nights are the most expensive for everybody. I think we paid $50 at Venus and $60 at Trapeze one night and like $75 another night, something like that. And so that's the area, and the couples fees usually stick around, and the single men have the highest fees. Some nights they're not allowed at all at some clubs. And when they are allowed, the fees are much, much higher.
Yeah. And really, you can sort of get an idea of the hierarchy, how people are sought after at a certain place by the fees. And that should seem sort of obvious. And, you know, depending on what place you're at, either couples or single women would be the sort of sought after group of people, mainly couples, I think, because they're people who are more likely to do something there.
Mm-hmm.
And single men, you know, it's sort of an unfortunate situation, because I'm sure there are single men who could go to one of these places and be totally cool, but that's not usually the case. Usually, as we'll detail in some of our later in our reviews of the actual clubs themselves, it's not a very good dynamic.
And I guess that's it for the logistics, unless you can think of anything else.
I think that pretty much covers it.
So first of all, I should just mention that I had been to a swingers club about 5 or 6 years ago in Atlanta, and so that was my first time going to a swingers club, and then these three were the other times I've been.
And there are actually only two clubs, but we had three visits.
Right.
But we'll detail that in a minute.
The club that I went to several years ago, I don't remember the name of it, but I do know that it was not one of the ones that we went to. So obviously it's one that's not open anymore. I think it may have been Velvet Heaven, because something about the letter V sticks with me, which is why I originally thought maybe it was Venus before we went. That experience was, I mean, having only had that experience, I really didn't think very highly of it. And it's funny because my perception changed both for the better and then sort of back to where it originally was after these three visits.
Yeah. So I guess we should just move on into visit one. And you're going to tell this narrative, right?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Okay. Took me a second there. Visit one.
This was our first one. And I guess we should, before we even get into this, we should get out of the way that out of all the clubs in Atlanta, there's only two open right now that we know of. And we could be missing one. If we are, somebody, you know, please tell us, leave us a voicemail, send us an email, whatever. But there's only two open right now that aren't, that are just swingers clubs that don't have some sort of theme like BSDM or
fetish or something like that.
And, you know, because we're not really, you know, into the BSDM thing.
Although I might be willing to go to one of those clubs, see what's up.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably be willing to go, but it's just not really my thing per
se. Cup of tea. And there is a third club that was open until recently called Club Too Risqué. And it recently closed. It was right across the street from Trapeze, and it will be reopening in a new location in October, according to their website.
So we might have a follow-up podcast for you.
We will have a follow-up podcast for you then. Okay, so the first visit was Trapeze. We went there 3 weeks ago on a Friday night. It is out OTP, out on Fulton Industrial, and it was overall not a very good experience.
Not the first visit.
Right. Some things to note. We got there at around 11:30, maybe 11 or so. And we went in. We had to pay our, we had to buy our membership and pay our user fees that night. So it ended up being $115.
Yeah, pretty hefty chunk of change.
Pretty steep. We went in and it was sort of, it seemed sort of slow. I mean, there were people there. There was a dance floor, a bar, and a lot of tables, chairs, and there was a buffet. And the buffet was definitely the highlight as far as I'm concerned.
It was really good. I had a pork chop and vegetables, and
it was really good food. The vegetables were awesome. So one of the first things we did was get some food. Sat down and just people watched. There wasn't a lot going on. Every now and then,
some people would get out on the dance floor.
Some people would dance. You know, they had a pole. And so I was eyeing the pole, even though I had a feeling that it probably wasn't kept very clean. But I was going to try it anyway because I see a pole and I have to get on it. So after we ate, we sat a little while waiting for the DJ to play a song that didn't suck, because for whatever reason, all the music seemed to suck. And then eventually I got up and started dancing on the pole a little bit, and sure enough, the pole was not very safe. I tried to wipe it down with a napkin, but I mean, you really have to clean poles with
Clorox and towels.
Windex. And
Clorox, but Windex.
And so I did the best that I could, but it wasn't good enough because it was very slippery and unsafe, and I couldn't do a whole lot because I couldn't get a good enough grip. And I ended up bruising myself pretty severely. I had a few cuts and scratches, but
none the worse for wear.
But Rusty said that I had an audience at some point.
Yeah, some people from the bar had turned around and were looking at you because there had been a couple of other folks dancing on the pole before, and they weren't as good as you. You were better. And I mean that. You look better.
Rusty said I had rhythm.
Yeah. Which, if you've ever been around us for any length of time, we're two of the klutziest people you'll ever be around. When we have kids, they're going to be klutzy. They're going to be stumbling all over the place. I feel sort of bad for them, actually.
But nevertheless, Rusty said I had rhythm. He said he could tell that the pole was holding me back from doing more.
Yeah.
So that was that. After that, I was exhausted. We sat for a while so I could catch my breath. And
one thing I will mention about the front is that they have really bad porno playing on the TVs. I mean, really bad porno. And I guess at a place like that, you know, you're open 5 days a week. At a certain point, you run out of good porno to play because there's not very much good porno around. And I assume that at a certain point, they just have to buy it in bulk and just slap it up there without even paying much attention to it.
Yeah, there was one up there with a guy with a pretty egregious mullet.
Yeah, there was a mullet.
And so, anyway, after a little while longer, we decided to go towards the back. It's sort of segregated into the front area, which is clothing optional, although when we got there, pretty much everybody had their clothes on. Oh, I should mention, before we went to the back, we did witness a furtive blowjob.
Yes, there was a blowjob on the dance
floor. On the dance floor. And that was definitely the hottest thing all night.
Yeah.
The second best to the food, but in terms of hotness or sex, that was...
Yeah, I still preferred the buffet. I mean,
yeah. But you know, we did see a blowjob, so that was good. And that was up front where, you know, people were still mostly clothed and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no rule against that, obviously. But they have the back area where you have to go and get a locker, and you have to... you don't have to get totally naked, but the rule is no street clothes through this one door. And so we went back and we got a locker, and the locker room was very crowded and sort of, I don't know, I wasn't very impressed. There was a really leaky shower and some woman spilled her drink.
Yeah, that was the other thing, is that Friday night it seemed like there were more really drunk people there.
Yeah, and just sort of obnoxious behavior.
I don't want to say it was like a lot of drunk people, but there were a few.
And not like yeah. Everybody was falling over drunk.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like that, but there were a few who were falling over drunk.
There were a few, and that one spilled her drink right next to me.
Yeah.
And there weren't very many attendants working that night, but anyway, so we got our locker. I don't remember an attendant locking it that night, which concerned me. And then we got a towel. We each got a towel, and we walked back through the door into the designated no street clothes area. And back there was another bar and a big open area with some couches and then some other rooms, some of them semi-private, meaning there were a lot of mattresses and stuff in there, but they didn't have a door that closed, and then a few private rooms. We walked around. We saw people sitting around. People were talking and laughing. It seemed like a lot of people knew each other. But we really didn't see any sex.
Yeah, I mean, other than the blowjob up front and toward the end, we really didn't stay back there very long because we weren't impressed with what we saw. And toward the end of it, I saw some older folks go back to...
One of the semi-private rooms.
The
couple with all the mattresses, and they looked like they were going to start something up, but we had no interest in watching them. And the crowd was generally older.
Yeah, it was an older crowd that Friday night.
And, you know, a lot of people nearing our parents' age. And there were some single men back there who were sort of leering.
Well, there was the one I specifically remember is there was one guy just sitting on a couch flopping his dong around. And I mean, well, that's what he was doing. I mean, he was just kind of sitting there just, you know, waving it back and forth. And
I don't remember that guy.
Well, he was older. He had glasses. And I could tell he wasn't there with anybody. And I guess he... Just, I don't know, maybe he felt entitled to have someone walk up and just do something to it. You know, here it is, I'm flopping it around for you.
Yeah, come on, what's your problem?
Come get it. I mean, don't you see there's perfectly good floppy dong here?
The one that I remember the most when I decided, yeah, let's go ahead and leave, was when we were standing sort of off to the side near the main door, and there was this older guy in a towel who was just like, standing there sort of staring at us with this stupid looking grin on his face. I expected him to start salivating at any moment, and it was just creepy and lecherous.
Yeah.
And that's when we decided it was time to go.
Yeah.
And so overall we were not impressed. with that experience?
Yeah, we walked away with a very negative experience that night. And the only reason that we ended up going back later is because of the two clubs. Trapeze was the only one that had a singles only night.
Mm-hmm.
Or a couples only night as one of its deals.
One of its nights. So we thought, you know, maybe it would be different. And, well, we'll get to that later.
We'll get to that later.
So on to visit two. You're going to talk about
visit number
that.
Two, Club Venus. God. I don't even know really where to begin. Club Venus, sort of like Trapeze. I don't know if we mentioned this about Trapeze, but Trapeze is in an office park, basically, that I guess is not an office park
anymore. A former office park.
Because it actually used to have a bunch of sex clubs or swinger clubs all concentrated into a single place. Well, Club Venus is in an office park where I think there are actually other kinds of businesses in the office park, and they keep a very inconspicuous profile. They have nothing but a neon V in the window. There's no advertisement really on the outside of the building or anything like that. You go in and there's a very sort of cramped space where you pay for everything. And what did we say it was again? $50?
It was $50 because the difference at Venus was that on the night when you buy your membership, excuse me, your user fees are waived. So it was $50 for the membership.
Okay. So we went through that. We took a few minutes. And when you walk in, there's sort of a lobby area. And there are doors either to your right or straight ahead that lead to the rest of the club. And there was nothing really going on in the lobby. So we walked.
Oh, you know what, though, I should mention is that one thing that was different in contrast to Trapeze was, you know, you have to sign something for your membership, but they had like essay questions on this piece of paper they gave me. And it was things like, why are you here? Or like what do you understand the swinger lifestyle to be?
Yeah.
Are you interested in participating in this lifestyle? If not, why are you here? Like, and all this stuff. And I had to make up these answers, but then I gave it to the woman and she didn't even look at it. She just tossed it aside.
Well, she was a lot more interested in the $50, I'm sure.
That was annoying.
Or in whatever book she was reading, so she could pass you on through. But so we went through, nothing much going on in the lobby. There was a sort of a thicker woman just laying on the couch sleeping. I don't know what that was about.
She was there the whole time.
And she was there the whole time. And so we walked through that room into what I think is kind of the main congregation area. It had a bar and a dance floor and tables and stools. And it also had areas that sort of snaked around. And the whole place was very maze-like. That's really the biggest thing.
And very dark.
Yeah. Trapeze was up front. It was dark, but it wasn't like pitch black.
It was dark like a regular club.
Like a regular club would be. And it doesn't really, it's not really very maze-like. I mean, it just kind of snakes around in one direction and it leads you through. I mean, there's not really two ways you can go. Whereas at Venus, you could go three or four or five different ways. And many people, single men in particular, did that the entire night. They went many, many different ways. They walked around and they looked, and they walked around and they looked, and they walked around and they looked. And this was not good looking. It was lecherous, creepy staring. I don't know. Maybe because the place was sort of dead that night. There's no sort of about it. The place was really dead that night. There was.
And this
barely
is a Saturday
there.
Night.
This was a Saturday night. You know, we didn't go in the middle of the week or anything. We didn't go on a Sunday afternoon. We went on a Saturday night and the place was just dead. I don't know how it's been around so long if it's that dead on a Saturday night. But there was lecherous, creepy staring. That was the most distinctive feature of the place, is there were a bunch of single men walking around, I think just waiting for something to happen. But then there were barely any couples there. I saw maybe two or three couples in the whole place, and that includes the one we actually did see have sex in the sort of private room. I can't even verbally describe the place to you other than to say that it snakes around.
It's labyrinthine.
Yeah.
It's, assuming that's how you pronounce that word, it's very, very dark. A lot of, like, dead ends and just like what's around this corner. I'm afraid to go around here.
It was like a 70s middle school makeout room as far as how, except like,
which is what the Creative Loafing article said, which we should mention.
We should mention that because the writer, Club Venus is the only one of the two that was actually around back in 2001 when Creative Loafing wrote an article about the swinger scene in Atlanta generally. And it was a pretty good article. Mm-hmm. Very detailed. And it was eerie to me reading back over that because I'd read it a long time ago. And then I looked it up again, before we did this podcast, and the writer had the same experience back then. I mean, down to a lot of the eerie, down to the detail, like, you know, the same, groups of people just milling around, staring lecherously. There's one playroom off to the side with mattresses and things. And what we saw when we were there was a single couple in there. That was it, just one couple. And they were just, you know, fucking missionary style.
It was a couples only room.
Yeah, it was a couples only room. And they were having sex the missionary style, and but they just kept going.
That's it.
And they just kept going and kept going and kept going missionary style.
It got boring.
I mean, maybe I'm sure it was fun for them, but it was not a very interesting experience. So
we were watching them through a voyeur window,
which is fairly small. It was the same voyeur window that I assume they were mentioning in the Creative Loafing article, because I think that's the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because if you go back and you read the Creative Loafing article, the writer of the article saw two couples in there, and one of them, the man was going down on the woman and just stayed there and just stayed there and just stayed there until people were looking at their watches, I think is how he described it. And so that was one parallel between the experience we had. And so we've also had the same parallel of seeing all the creepy men walking about and leering. And then there's a third parallel. When we were looking through the voyeur window at some point, some single guy naturally walked up and, oh God, what did he ask?
He just parked himself there. And so we were all standing there, not talking at all, which is awkward enough. And then, but I didn't want to talk to him. And then he goes, "Do you think they could see us watching?" Like, in a really creepy way. Like in a how old are you way.
Yeah.
And why are you here? Like, it was just, and in the article, the writer said that when he was watching through the window, somebody asked pretty much the same question.
Yeah.
So. And a fourth parallel, actually, because I remember something from the Creative Loafing article about some employee that worked there saying something like, "Oh, this is a really slow night." Well, we overheard a bartender saying that it was a slow night.
When isn't it a slow night?
Do they just say that every night for the benefit of somebody to overhear it and think, "Huh, maybe it would be better another night. I guess I should come back."
Because, you know, you can get space like that, industrial office space, for not very much money a month. And I can't imagine there's a lot of overhead because there's not a lot to keep up in that place. And, you know, not that pathetic little snack tray that they had, because that was weak. And, you know, they can go to I don't know, Walmart and probably get one of those for $25. And so,
but I still don't know how they've managed to stay open for so long. Because even when the Creative Loafing article was written in 2001, they had been open for almost 2 years. And it's hard to keep those places open. And especially for one that sucks.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's a front business for something else.
I don't know. I know
there was a pool hall in Marietta I used to go to that I found out was a front for a meth lab later. But not that I'm making any slanderous accusations, because I'm not. I'm trying to make a joke. But
so that's a mystery to us.
So, yeah, that's pretty much Club Venus for you. I really, you know, we only went the one night. Maybe there are nights when it's not just
I don't
want to
go back, though, because it felt bad. It felt joyless. It just all the like stalking, skulking single guys.
Yeah.
And the thing is that they don't have a couples only night, but they do have on Saturday night, their website says a limited number of single men are allowed. And I guess they must do that by actual numbers and not percentages, because there were a lot of single guys. And I can't imagine what it would be like on any other night.
Well, and we were there. When did we get there? We got there around 11 or 11:30 maybe.
Maybe closer to midnight.
Maybe even closer to midnight. I mean, the thing about all the, you know, what I hear about these clubs is that they don't really get going until pretty late. But I mean, we were there after midnight. We were there. I think we got there midnight-ish and left about 1 a.m. I mean, we didn't stay very long, but there was just nothing going on other than a bunch of creepy, lecherous guys walking around.
So if you've had a different experience at Venus,
yeah, please share it. I don't want to just sit here and slander a club based on one night.
If you've had a similar experience, share it.
Yeah, share that as well, because I mean, I would just like to hear anything different or hear something that validates what we said. Something, anything, because I don't want to go back there and look. You know, I mean, Trapeze, even that first night, you know, while it was not a good experience, it also didn't have this menacing element to it that Club Venus had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I never felt like it was threatening. I just thought like it was kind of silly and a little sad the first night at Trapeze. You know, it was just kind of like, okay, well, let's leave.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I don't think I could have gotten out of Club Venus fast enough.
Yeah.
Not a good experience.
But moving right along to a complete 180 from that is our third visit, which was this past weekend, Saturday night. We went back to Trapeze because we were curious if it would be different on a Saturday night, which is couples only.
Yeah. Out of both of the clubs, it's the only one that even has a couples only night.
And it was different.
It was a lot different. It was, I would say it was a complete 180 from the first visit.
It was. We got there about the same time that we got there before. When we walked in, the first thing that was just immediate was not only were there a lot more people, but there was a much higher energy level.
There were people dancing and
laughing.
The
dance floor was packed. People were dancing. There was a lot of laughter, energy. Just people looked like they were having fun. Sounded like they were having fun. It was good music. Just, it was very different. A generally younger crowd. A lot of good-looking people.
Yeah, there were. Yeah, it was definitely a younger crowd. One thing I read on the Club Too Risqué site, which is the club that closed recently and is going to reopen, so then there'll be three sex clubs and maybe Venus will go away, is that at least at Club Too Risqué, they said their Friday nights were an older crowd and their Saturday nights were a younger crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's pervasive. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Somebody who's more in the swinger community.
The lifestyle.
Yeah, who's in the lifestyle. Please tell me if that's an actual universal characteristic or at least one of the scene around here, mm-hmm. whether Friday nights are for older people and whether Saturday nights are for younger people. But that's how it went at Trapeze, and that's how Club Risqué said their club was. So that's 2 out of 3.
Mm-hmm.
So
So it was striking. The difference was striking as soon as we walked in. And we sat down, we had something to drink, and we noticed people, you know, sort of one by one, couple by couple, making their way towards the back and seeming happy about it, excited, you know. And so we decided we were just going to go back there as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So we finished our drink.
We sat up front maybe half an hour.
Yeah. We went back there, and there were more attendants working. And we had brought our own padlock, but as it turned out, they had an attendant that had to unlock and lock all the lockers. So we got our locker, got our towel, went back through the double doors, and again, just a much bigger crowd. We started to walk around, and then you noticed.
Well, I looked back, and there was a room we hadn't noticed the first time that we went there, which I look back on it now and I have to at least question whether some of my negativity towards Trapeze the first night out came from the fact that we didn't go into the main room where most of the stuff was happening.
But to be fair, it's not really easy to see because there's a little room with a pool table and everything. And the door is, you have to go through that room to get to the door to this whole other back area. Yeah. And it's not that obvious.
It's not very obvious at all. I mean, so we missed this whole area. And then, you know, we thought that the entire extent of the back play area was just some, you know, the bar and the couches and a couple of couples only type rooms. Or one couples only room, one other mattressy playroom. But that's not the case at all. When we walk through that back door, we open it up, and there was a whole other area that was probably almost as large as, mm-hmm. as the area we thought was the whole area before. Yeah. And there was a swimming pool, and there were, I think,
three
jacuzzis. There was a tiki bar, and there were also these little, also sort of semi-private beds and things.
Yeah, they were basically two beds in this little hut-looking thing.
Yeah, it might have even been three beds.
They were going for a tiki theme.
Yeah, sort of.
And a lot of little futon things set up around the perimeter of the pool.
But, yeah.
And there were a lot of people back there, and there was a lot of fucking.
It was, I mean, by comparison, it was like walking onto the set of Caligula or something. I mean, I don't want to say it like that because Caligula is a lot more screwed up than that. And this was just fun and awesome. But the visual, at least. I mean, you look to the left and there's a couple on the side of the pool. You look in the pool and there's a foursome going on there. You look over into the cabana with the beds over here and there's another foursome going on here. Now, I say there were a lot of foursomes. I think generally, wouldn't you say that most of the people who were back there were, you know, set couples who were mainly just there to watch and be watched?
For the most part, yeah.
I think there was a lot more of that than there were people who were, you know, swapping partners and getting into orgies generally. I mean, even with the foursomes I saw, I got the feeling that those people knew each other. I didn't ask.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, and that's, but it's a swinger thing. I mean, pretty much couples know each other if they play together. And I agree. It did seem like most people were there to watch or be watched. But there were a large, you know, a pretty significant number of people who we did see swapping partners and, you know, having foursomes mainly. There might have been an orgy with like five or six.
I saw one that I would call like a for real orgy because one of the things, you know, it's hard to officially distinguish what is and isn't an orgy. We've had long conversations about
this.
We
won't bore you with that debate.
We won't even get into that, but just one characteristic that will instantly help you make your case for an orgy are disproportionate ratios. Two women and one guy, two guys and one woman. And, you know, one of the playrooms had a pretty good orgy going on from that perspective because there was, you know, little Chinese finger cuffs going on. What do you want me to call it? You know, I'm trying to.
But I love how you call it disproportionate ratios. I love that. That's so awesome because it sounds so nerdy.
I know.
But, and like, you know, nerdy is hot.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I love
so,
that.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, it was awesome. And so the first thing we did when we got back there, after we sort of picked our jaws up off the floor.
Yeah, because we were completely proven wrong based on our first impression.
And I love being proven wrong in that way.
Yeah.
So we got into one of the hot tubs and we sat there. We watched some fucking, mainly one couple. I could see another couple, but somebody was blocking Rusty's view. And we even liked it enough there that we ended up fucking too, twice.
Yeah, twice. Twice. Yeah. Once, the first time was in one of the semi-private rooms. And we did have a small audience. We had a pretty steady audience of one couple who was watching us the whole time. And the way that those work is that people will kind of get up after they're tired of sitting down for a while and sort of make the rounds and kind of see what's going on with everybody else. And so other people did peek in at us occasionally. And so that was fun. Mm-hmm. And the fucking was really good.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it was pretty serious.
Two thumbs up for the fucking. And you have to understand that between us, we have the bar set very high.
Yeah.
For our sex life, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how to go there without getting very graphic, so I'll skip it. But unless you want to.
Well, I'm fine with graphic, but you know, we got to wrap this up soon, so.
Yeah. So we won't bore you with that. But
just do you want to hit a few other observations here that it's on our little list?
Let's see. We've got a list here. What else?
Interracial couples. That was one thing that we noticed at this past weekend at Trapeze, was there were a lot of interracial couples, a lot of racial diversity in general, which is interesting because the swinger lifestyle generally gets thought of as mainly a white thing.
Yeah.
And in my limited experience with it prior to this, that has proven to be true, but this was very different.
This, yeah. I mean, there were black couples, white couples. It's awesome. Couple of Asians, saw some Latinos, you know, interracial couples. I mean, it was, you know, old, young. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was more of a young leaning crowd this time out, but it wasn't an entirely young crowd either. I think it was, I mean, just overall, it was a great mix.
It was a good mix.
Because you had just lots of diversity in general, and it was fun to watch.
If there is anything that I could change about it to make it even more awesome, I would say just sort of more interaction among couples and people that are there. Like, more, like, you know, like, it would have been cool if, you know, after we were done fucking the first time and we were lying there sort of winded and recovering, that couple who had been sitting there watching the whole time, you know, what if they'd been like, hey, that was awesome, or like started applauding and giving the thumbs up, like, because I think sex should be silly and funny and there should be laughter.
I do too, but it's also a very delicate line between talking to people. I mean, you have to approach it the right way, especially if you don't know people, and I can see how it's hard to just, you know, clap. And I agree with you. I would like for there to be more, but I also can see the counterpoint to that, which is it's very hard to strike up a conversation in that situation.
And it is a club where, even though it's a private membership club, it is one where you're not going to know everybody because there are a lot of people. And I mean, I've had an experience at a private sex party in someone's home with a small number of people where, you know, not everybody knew each other, but everybody was a friend of a friend. And so that definitely lended itself more to that sort of, you know, ease of just general comfort level. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think you're right that people aren't just going to break out into applause.
Because that might go over great with 9 people, but then that 10th person might be a little freaked out by it. And if you're freaking somebody out, if you're going to risk even that 1 out of 10 freaking out, not good.
Yeah.
So we stayed until 3 a.m. We actually had sex a second time sitting on the futon things. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple sitting in front of us, and they watched us. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty fun. We were actually right out in the middle of the room. Amber said she looked around and saw that we had even more of an audience than that. I didn't really get to look around much.
I was on top, so I could see
better. I was on
the
bottom. I didn't get, you know, I had a view of, well, you know what I saw.
So overall, it was great. We had a great time. We definitely want to go back. And if it's fun the next time we go, then we might spring for a 1-year membership.
Yeah. We've got a 3-month membership that runs through, what, September?
September.
So we're going to go back at least once between now and when that runs out. And if it continues to be fun, then we may,
if any of you guys want to come with, you can come. Like, yeah, if anybody's totally not weird about it, that would be great.
Yeah, I mean, no pressure, no anything like that.
So I guess I just want to mention also that our friend BJ has been doing a series of posts on gay sex clubs in Atlanta that he's been to. It's at sodomycreek.net, and he has 2 posts up now, I believe, and I think he's going to do a couple more. And it's interesting. There are a lot of differences, but there are some similarities. One that I'll just real quick point out was a similarity I found between what he said about the gay sex clubs that he'd been to and Venus, with it just being very dark and maze-like. And, you know, BJ, if you have anything else to say, call, leave a voicemail. You can talk for up to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And what else?
Well, Steve Illy sent us some Twitter questions. I mean, I think we've already kind of answered them, but I will just, you know, say thanks for sending in the questions.
Because he was the only one who did.
He was the only one who did. He asked us, did we find one, meaning a club, where sex was actually occurring? I think he had only read our first two experiences at that point and hadn't read.
Because I blogged them.
Yeah, the third one. I actually haven't blogged about it, which I meant to, and then I never got around to it. But so, yeah, obviously we did find one. And then the second one was, will you still speak to me after semi-recommending trapeze? Well, yes, yeah. I will, because it worked out the second night. So, actually, thanks for that.
Yes, thanks very much. Yeah. And I guess that's it. If you have thoughts, feedback, please leave us a voicemail. I don't have the number in front of me, but we'll post it.
Well, you know, it'll come up in the canned outro here in just a second. I always forget our phone number.
This has been a very long podcast, but I have a feeling that if anybody's going to sit through a long podcast, it'll be this one because it's all about fucking.
Yeah.
So, hope you enjoyed it.
The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on Magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.